we'll find out in a minute. First of all, I just want to say thank you to Paxton and Jim for the opportunity to even stand up here and attempt this. God's been dealing with me a lot in my life in a lot of areas, and it's kind of funny that when I was first asked to speak on Show Up, I was like, well, I don't really have a problem with showing up, so I don't understand what I'm supposed to get from this. Matter of fact, I feel like I'm pretty good at it. So anyway, so I was fumbling with that idea, what I'm supposed to do, how am I supposed to interact with this? And the more I dove into it and studied it, I figured out real quick that showing up is not always about the physical. A lot of times it's about the mental. But I want to congratulate everybody here because you have successfully completed the first stone once. You are here. So congratulations. Oh, me. So I've never done this before, so y'all are my first audience. So we'll see how this goes. Jim, thank you for allowing me to stand up here. And I appreciate what you go through every week to prepare to speak to us. So, all of us have successfully showed up one time. But we have the opportunity every day, multiple times a day, to show up in many different areas. We have our jobs, our family, our friends, church, God. There's all these different opportunities. But what about showing up for yourself? Does anybody struggle with that in here? I do. I struggle with that. The two main reasons we as men don't show up are, one, fear of failure, and two, not believing that we have what it takes. Both of these two items are lies of the enemy. I believe all men struggle in some form or fashion in these two areas. We get a case of the what ifs. What if I look stupid? What if I don't say the right thing? What if I don't know what to say? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I pray and they aren't healed? What if they're more spiritual than me? What if? And the problem I've found with these what ifs and this version of the what if, it is based on my performance. It's all about me. And the enemy will take these what ifs based on me and make me afraid. Excuse me. He will take my fear and my self-doubt, and he'll sideline me in the areas that God has called me to show up. And like the old saying goes, as goes men, so goes the culture. But as Pastor Jim's told us many times, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about obedience, looking past myself to the need of others. We have to shift our focus, and it's funny because this word focus keeps coming up over and over and over. And I don't know how many of you guys know me on a personal level as far as outside of the church or drums or whatever, but I, in the past, have been a glass half empty kind of guy instead of a glass half full kind of guy. But again, it's all about focus. This word focus keeps showing up. But we have to shift our focus. It's a lot easier to look past my fears and look past my abilities when my focus isn't on myself. If I shift my focus to God and His will for my life, Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He rescued me from all my fears. It's a change in focus from what if I to obedience and what if God. Do you trust God to show up in areas of your life? I've struggled with that before. You give Him partial areas of your life, and then, well, God, I'm going to take care of this over here. Jeff Voth summarizes Show Up in these two statements. One, replace any selfishness or fear of failure with thinking of others. And two, replace your trust in human knowledge with trust in the Holy Spirit. We need to ask ourselves, where do I show up for others? And where do I need to start showing up for others? Pardon me, I'm going to grab water real quick. And make that awful sound. Sorry. Excuse me. It also, Jeff Voth in the Slinger's book also says, and he defines showing up as, if you do something for someone with no return benefit, you are showing up. We have to stop with excuses. How would we feel if when we needed God's forgiveness, His grace, or an answer to a prayer, He gave us the same excuses that we give Him? Jeff Voth also says, big show-ups and small show-ups are part of God's plan. Listen to the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something. Be what you are looking for. Be a blessing to receive your blessing. So when I was asked to do Show Up, I didn't know where to start really, so I started over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, reading back over the story of David, because to me that was just the ultimate show up. So we're going to dive back into that. I know if you were here for cave time, you experienced this, but we're going to do it again. So we know that cave time is based around the story of David and his mighty men. But before David fought Goliath, he was basically an errand boy. Back and forth between his father's flock that he tended and Saul's army where his three older brothers were. And this is where it started getting real interesting to me. I read some things I'd never seen before. So, you've got the Philistine army on one hillside, and you've got the Israelite army led by King Saul on the other side. There's a valley in between. So Goliath, 9 foot tall, 9 inches, is that correct? Big old man. Big. Would come out. This floored me. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 16. Basically it says, Goliath got up every morning and every evening for 40 days. 40 days. And mocked God and the Israelite army. And the Israelite army let him do it. That blew my mind. You've got an army of men. And you let somebody come out and mock what you stand for and what you believe in for 40 days? Morning and night, 40 days. So I got hung up on that. But verse 11 says that they lost their courage and they were terrified. So back up to David being the errand boy. David's father, Jesse, sent David early one morning to deliver supplies and food to the battlefield. About the time David got there is when Goliath was coming out for his morning taunt. He was going to make fun of him, curse him, whatever. This is what I like. In 1 Samuel 17, 23, your outline says 26, but it's actually 23. The Bible says, while he was speaking with them, suddenly the champion named Goliath, the Philistine from Gath, came forward from the Philistine battlefield and shouted his usual words, which David heard. That tells me right there that he had not heard it before. Period. But that one day, he heard it. This is when David did what nobody else would do. He showed up. And in 1 Samuel 17, 26, it's recorded that David is asking what's going to happen? So he says, what will be done for the man who kills that Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Just who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should deny the armies of the living God? Nobody took David serious when he was asking, what does the man get that takes care of that? That guy over there making fun of my God, what happens if I take him out? Nobody took David serious. He's just a shepherd. So eventually word got back to Saul. And in verse 32, David found Saul and he told Saul, don't let anyone be discouraged by him. I will fight this Philistine. David drew a line and decided enough. He showed up. He had experience fighting lions and bears and had spent a lot of time with God tending his father's flock. And he wasn't going to let someone mock or curse his God or his people anymore. David said, not my God, not my brothers, not my people, not my city. He said, no. 1 Samuel 17:37 says, then David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. David went through his formalities of asking King Saul if I can go take care of this, but he knew he was going anyway. He already had his mind made up. So after being suited up with all this heavy armor and all this stuff, it just didn't fit. It wasn't David. It wasn't what he was used to. It didn't fit. So David chose God and his faith over the heavy protection of the armor. He stepped out and showed up in faith. And David grabbed his staff and 5 stones from the nearby stream. And this is where my imagination kind of took over a little bit when I was reading this. Because the Bible doesn't say how long David was there. It just says that he went. So I kind of pictured myself beside this stream, right? And y'all can imagine if you want. So I'm standing there. Maybe I'm a tree, just fly on the wall, whatever. And I see David coming up, and he's walking, and he's barely talking, just kind of under his breath a little bit. And then I realize he's praying. He's talking to God. As he's getting closer and closer. And he's trying to process what it is that he's about to do. So no doubt God was with David. But the courage that it took for him to stay focused and fight back his fears, I can almost picture his prayers getting louder and louder as he's battling the fear. All the while he's meticulously looking through the stream for the rocks. He picked this one up, put it in his pouch. That's for Goliath's little brother. Grab this one. That's for Goliath. Grab these two. That's for his older brothers. And I can picture that as he's praying, it's getting louder and louder and louder. To the point to where by the time he picks up that 5th stone and puts it in his pouch, his prayers have turned into a battle cry. And he's just screaming as he turns and runs toward Goliath. The stones are symbolic in a few ways. One, he picked up 5 stones not because he might miss, but it was believed that Goliath had 4 brothers on the battlefield that day. And 2, David was very familiar with the stones and how to use them in his sling. And 3, they were just stones until David picked them up. God used David's time in the fields with his flock, his, we'll call it comfort zone, to hone his skill with a sling and a stone, and David got good. Then God would allow a test to come, a lion, a bear, I'm sure there were other things, but David had spent his time in his comfort zone with God practicing for a time that his comfort zone was nowhere to be found. But God is with us all the time. Take a baseball pitcher as an example. Just follow me for a second. Before he was a pitcher, he wasn't. He had to start somewhere. He had to make a decision to pick up a ball. Sure, he wasn't good at first, but he practiced with direction of a father or a coach. And as he gets older, he gets on a team, and they begin to have team practice. While this pitcher is learning his skill to throw strikes, his teammates are learning the skills to back him up. All done in the comfort zone of practice. Learning how to trust each other by showing up. And finally, when the big game comes, the pitcher, he's ready. He's not afraid to throw strikes because even if the bat makes contact with the ball, he knows his teammates are behind him with skills of their own to back him up. God is our coach. And our team is locking shields with each other. This, here, Forge, showing up for each other. Helping build each other. Help build our skills in our practice time, our cave time, so that when one of us is facing a giant, we're there for each other. Amen. David had practiced using the stones in defense of the things and the people around him that he cared about, and he was lethal. Because David used the stones from the string, along with the two that God gave him, he knocked down the giant that he was facing and cut off his head with the giant's own sword. David was a wall for his people. He was a living example of Psalm 144:14. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. I got to thinking also, like I tried to picture myself as one of the men in the Israelite army, you know, allowing this to happen. They needed one man to show up and prove that this giant could be defeated. And after David killed Goliath, the army charged. They just went all in, everybody. It didn't matter that Goliath had four brothers on the battlefield. They weren't thinking about that anymore. It didn't matter. It had been proven that he could take care of it, that they could take care of it, locking shields. One man showing up for others breathed life back into a fearful group of men. And see, the Israelite army, they weren't weak. They were deceived by the enemy. Much like most men today, we as men need to step up, show up, lock shields, and draw our line in the sand like David did. Together we are the example. The men in this room are creating the new normal for the men in the church. Amen. Ephesians 4:16. I like this one. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of one body for building up itself in love by proper working of each individual part. With the knowledge we gain from practicing these stones and the faith that our God is who he says he is, we can face our giants. God isn't asking us to have all the answers. He's asking us to show up and expect him to meet us there. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be provided for you." If we show up in our own lives and the lives of others and seek Jesus in the situation, he said all things will be provided for you. 1 Samuel 17:45-46. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defied him. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. Today I will strike you down, remove your head, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the wild creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God." God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He will use us if we make ourselves available. But let me ask a question first. And I had to ask myself this question. When are we going to stop letting past actions be our current excuses? When are we going to stop letting others control us with unresolved pain and give it to God? When are we going to deal with our wounds like we learned about in the 33 series? You see, a wall is only as good as its foundation. And if that foundation isn't God, I don't want to be a part of that wall. I don't know about you guys. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is a promise. But as I read this, I also think it's a warning. If we seek Jesus, we'll find him in our situations, whatever. If we seek negative thoughts toward people, we're going to find that too. If we seek imperfection or hurts or how we've been wronged, we're going to find it. See, we have control over our focus. And because whatever we focus on, we magnify. Our perception shapes our reality. But we as men have to decide where are we going to draw our line. Where is that thing in your life that is normal every day to everybody else until you hear it, like David did? If we don't know where that line is, where we say enough, then we're no different than the Israelite army or modern society for that matter. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Where's that line? Showing up is the ultimate act of selflessness. You can't be all about me and show up as we. When we show up in other people's lives and make a stand, people notice. Your impact will eventually be felt. And people want to be near you because they feel safe. In 1 Samuel 18:2, I like this. David's just defeated Goliath. And when he walks back up to meet with Saul, he's still got Goliath's head in his hand. 1 Samuel 18:2 says, Saul kept David with him from that day on and did not let him return to his father's house. Saul felt safe with David around. So we've talked about the things and examples of how we need to show up, but can I ask, do you have anything in your life you need to stop showing up for? We hanging with the wrong crowd? Jim told us before, show me your friends and I'll show you your legacy. Is it being busy, too busy for your wife and your kids? Do you work too much? You got a bad attitude like I've struggled with in the past? Lustful thoughts, pornography? What can you stop showing up for that will benefit someone else's life? God laid this on my heart. Y'all see the boxes up here. So what I want you to do is when everybody came in today, you should have got an index card. I want you to pull that index card out. Don't write your name on it. But what I want you to do, can I walk in front of this speaker without it going crazy? We'll find out. What I want you to do is I want you to write one thing on that card that you can stop showing up for in your life. Whether it's pornography, bad attitude, whatever. It can be whatever. As deep as you want to go. But I also want you to write one thing in your life that you're going to start showing up for. And I want you to write it down. And I want you to come put it in this box. And what we're going to do is after today, we're going to imagine that God himself is going to come down this aisle and he's going to pick up this box and he's going to shut it and he's going to walk out with everything in it. He's going to take it. But as you put that card in here, I want you to reach in this other box. And I want you to get one of these stones to represent and remind you of what you wrote on this card that you're going to stop showing up for and that you're going to start showing up for. See, at cave time, that weekend that Jeff was referring to, we got our slings. But tonight, you're going to get your first bullet, and we're going to learn to throw it. Guys, I appreciate you letting me speak. And Tate, I guess if you guys want to come up, it may have been a little shorter than anticipated. But if you guys would, I'd like you guys to do that. Come up whenever you'd like to. The altar is always open. There's guys going to be here that will pray with you, pray for you. Guys, really, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for allowing me to speak. Just think to yourself, what are you going to show up for? What are you going to stop showing up that you don't need to anymore? And when are we going to deal with our hurts that are causing us to not show up and be that Psalm 144:14? Be a wall for our people. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your words, Lord God. God, I pray that I got out of your way. God, I just thank you for who you are and what you're doing in my life, Lord God, and I just thank you for the many blessings. I thank you for these men here. I thank you for the sacrifices that they made just to come today. God, I just pray that you'll be with us and help us grow stronger in you, Lord God. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.